For the sermon this afternoon, as we close the Lord's Day, let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, we read verses 1 to 11. First Peter 5, 1 to 11. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me read again those beautiful words in verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now in this last chapter, Peter writes about our duty, first of all, to submit to the elders. He explains that the elders are office bearers put in the church to care for your spiritual life. And then having said that, he goes on in verse 5 to tell us that we need to submit one to another. Now why do we need to do that? Precisely because we have a duty to care for each other. And then he tells us that the person who cares for us most of all is not your elder, it's not your brother or sister, but it is God. God cares for you better than anybody else. And so he gives to the church this final exhortation to encourage them, cast your cares upon God, for he cares for you. This means the words of God this afternoon is a very practical word. And the reason why I've chosen this word is because I will be away for 4 months, and some of you have special needs, and some of you may need pastoral care. But I want to press home the point to you this afternoon that God cares for you better than your pastor, better than anyone else. Cast your care upon God, for God cares for you. So we want to look at this word of God, casting all your cares upon God. Now there are three things we want to look at as we close the Lord's Day under this theme. First of all, this is a strong word of God. It is sinful to carry all your cares yourself. Then secondly, we need to learn how to cast our cares upon God. And then finally, these very encouraging and comforting words, God cares for you. And let us learn together how God cares for us. Cares, anxieties, worries. These are all three different words in the English, but they all express the same thing. Anxieties. The word cares here in this text It's the same word you find in that famous text in Philippians 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing, which means be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the God of all peace, He will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Cares, worries. These are anxieties we carry with us in our lives. Now, first of all, let me give you a working definition for anxiety. It is a word that we use very often. But what is anxiety? How do you define your own anxieties? Anxiety, very often, is a panicking emotion. It is a panicking emotional response to stress and to distress. That means when you face a certain crisis and change in your life, and you cannot cope with the change and crisis, you panic. Because you cannot cope, you cannot manage, you cannot handle. And then following that panicking emotional response, you feel anxious. Anxious about your situation, anxious about tomorrow and the future. Now we can say this about anxiety as well. Anxiety is always a very uncomfortable emotion. It is like maybe drinking a very strong cup of coffee. Thick, strong coffee makes my heart palpitate, beat faster. And that is how very often you and I feel when we are very anxious. Our heart beats faster, our heart pounds, it palpitates. And then some people who are very anxious have tension, headache. And then some have even sweaty palm. All these are signs and symptoms of anxieties. Now it is very important as we consider this text to ask the question, when does a person experience anxieties? Because the text says, cast all your care. Idea here is that throughout all our lives, we have many cares and worries and anxieties. And in every different situation, we experience new worries and cares. When does a person then become anxious? It's good to ask this question. Now let me suggest a few things that can cause a person to be very anxious in his life. First of all, when there is a change in his life, a change in circumstances, and I say that person is not able to cope with it. Maybe it is a new environment overseas, or maybe that person experiences a loss in the home, and then suddenly a loved one is no more, and he feels that change in the home. It is a change that brings tremendous stress, and he cannot cope with that change. That brings anxieties. Or maybe he is removed from the office, and because of the poor economic situation, he is downgraded and he has to go to another department where he has to handle very difficult, conflicting situations. And he is lost, confused, unable to cope. He becomes anxious. Or secondly, a person fears the future. To a certain degree, God knows that we fear the future. Jesus deals with that in Matthew chapter 6, where he assures us we do not have to be anxious about tomorrow. He mentions that because Jesus knows that most of us have fears about the future. The future is uncertain. What about my career? I come to this point where I cannot become more flexible. I'm in my midlife. And I don't have a good education. Where should I go to pursue my career? Because of uncertainties in the future, we can become very anxious. Or when we commit a moral sin, and we sense guilt, not an ordinary guilt, but a guilt that stays and remains in our conscience, disturbing our peace, that makes us anxious. Because a struggling child of God in that situation can struggle with assurance. Am I a child of God? Will God forgive me in this situation? Especially when I repeat that moral sin time and time again, his confidence is shaken. He becomes anxious. Or we can become anxious, not because of our own burdens, but when we carry the burden of others. Maybe you have a loved one at home who has a terminal illness, or an elderly parent who is crippled or handicapped. And you have to shoulder that burden. You have to pay the bills. You have to take that person to the therapist. And then you are running errands. And you see the person deteriorating in his health. And you see that his days are numbered. That brings anxieties. Now, not because of your own burdens, but because you carry another person's burdens. Now, God understands all these situations. And that is why He puts here in this Word of God a very practical counsel and advice. Cast your cares upon God. That means, beloved, that God never gives us anxieties. Yes, God gives us afflictions. Yes, He gives us trials. But God never gives us anxieties. Anxieties are our own doings. When we respond to afflictions sent by God, we can respond in two ways. First of all, we can respond with trust and belief, knowing that the situation is difficult, but yet you believe that God will take care of that situation, and you respond with faith. That is the first approach. But the second response is, you do not know what to do. You are in a state of panic. And the response is worry, anxieties. God never gives you that anxieties. God only gives you that affliction. And always in God's purpose, when He gives an affliction, it is for the purifying of your faith. Now let me submit to you that when we carry all our cares ourselves, it is sinful. Let me give you two reasons. The first reason why it is sinful is because we lack faith in God's providence. Now, this is the reason given by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, although we are familiar with that. But let's read it again with this thing in mind, that here Jesus asks us not to be anxious. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. That means, do not be anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Not to trust in Father's provision is to show lack of faith. So it is sinful, first of all, because it is a lack of faith. Now that is how anxiety happens. It happens when we lose our focus, we become too burdened with our own problems, we look at the problems, and we forget the great God who handles every situation. That brings anxieties. When we take our eyes away from God, we look at the problems, that brings anxieties. And that is what Jesus does not want us to do. He wants us to turn away from our problems and to look at Christ, look at Father who provides. Now, second reason why it is sinful is that it is pride. Look at verse 5 in 1 Peter chapter 5. Here notice that Peter mentions about humility. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now notice, when he says in verse 7, casting all your care, it is in connection with humbling ourselves before God. Now this is how we humble ourselves before God, by casting our cares upon God. Being humble means that we do not become proud. Not to cast our cares upon God means that we are proud. We carry with us pride. Now let's ask the question, how is not casting our cares upon God a sin of pride? In two ways. First of all, there's a tendency, especially in Asians, that we do not want to depend on others. We find that humiliating. And here let me take an example from my own family. I remember when we were very young, we were little boys and we were living just nearby this area. There were seven of us all packed in one small cubicle, just a small room. And I could remember that time when my mother first bought a television. It was a black and white television. Not even new, it was used. But in those days when most of us were poor, in order to do that, my mother had to borrow money from the lady, which is a neighbor. And I could recall that it was even very difficult for my mother to do that. But in order that the family has a television so that we can enjoy entertainment, my mother did that. And I realized that she struggled with it. Now that is very Asian, and that of course is human nature. We feel embarrassed, we feel humiliated when we say, I need to depend on you for my situation. I don't have money. I need food. So many of us want to save face, we want to save our reputation, and in our needs we don't tell others, and we don't tell God about it. Secondly, this is a sin of pride in this way. A person who does not put his cares upon God imagines himself to be very resourceful when he handles his own situation. I don't need God. I have enough resources to cope with my difficulties. When I'm anxious or when I'm stressed, I have my bank savings, I have my investments, I have other things. I am resourceful. I have option B when I fail in option A, and I have a number of possibilities. If all else fails, then I turn to God. Now that is a sin of pride. That might be pragmatism, but that is not faith. So I say, first of all, it is sinful to carry all your cares. But the word of God this afternoon says, cast all your care upon God. Now the word casting is a very interesting word. It means to throw a thing upon another. It doesn't mean throw a thing away, it means throw a thing upon another. Now one helpful picture would be from Luke chapter 19 verse 35. Luke 19 verse 35. Luke 19 verse 35 says, and they brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments upon the coat and they set Jesus thereon. So they take this coat, that is a donkey, brought him to Jesus, then notice, cast, that is put their garments upon the donkey and then let Jesus ride on the donkey. Picture here is, you take your belongings and you cast and you pull and you throw it upon the donkey. What this means is that the donkey carries the garments, or in ancient traders, they would take their belongings and their goods, put it on the donkey, and the donkey would carry the belongings and the merchandise and the goods. Now that is the picture. Now the idea here is to throw our cares upon God, so that God carries the cares for us. Now this is what it means to cast our cares upon God. In other words, to put things simply, the word here, casting our cares upon God, is to teach us something about what faith is supposed to do. Now, what is faith supposed to do? When a person trusts in God in a situation of crisis, faith causes him to throw his burdens upon God, and then to cause him to believe that God will take care of the crisis. Now that is the approach of faith. This makes casting cares upon God very hard to do, isn't it? Because we struggle in our life of faith, and every act of faith is very difficult to do, because faith requires us to abandon our own works and to trust completely in God. This goes against our human nature. Honestly, it's very difficult, isn't it? Faith requires you to abandon everything, put it all on God, and say to God, God, I know you are sovereign, you have all your powers, I put these things in your hands, take care of this situation, O God, in your own ways. That is difficult. Why? Precisely because in situations of crisis and anxieties, we panic and we want to do it our own ways. Now, just imagine a person rushing to the hospital. Maybe he has an injury, and he rushes to see the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm going to do this. But doctor, it is painful. Give me another possibility. I've heard from my friend that there's another way to deal with this. And I suggest, doctor, that you do it this way. But a man of faith, when he is pushed into the surgery room, he realized that he is completely disabled. He lies there unable to do anything. And he leaves it to the surgeon to perform the surgery, because he's not able to do anything. His life is in the hands of the surgeons, so to say. And that makes it very difficult. And some people, they don't survive surgery. They die. But to trust in God, to put our cares upon Him, means letting God take control of that situation in His own way. That makes it very difficult. Text says in verse 7, casting all your care. Now, there are two ways we can understand this. All your care means all kinds of your anxieties. There are many kinds of anxieties. Anxieties about relationships, anxieties about money. When at the end of the month, you realize that your expenses is more than your income, you are anxious. Anxious also about what you're going to do when there is sickness in the home. All kinds of cares, put them on God. But secondly, it can mean this way, and I prefer it to be read in this way. The text says, cast the whole of your care upon God. Cast all your care upon Him means cast the whole of your care upon God. Meaning, don't just give 50% of anxiety to God, and then you carry 50% of that situation. Don't do that. The word of God here says, give 100% of your care to God. Unless you think that this God has no ability to handle the situation. But knowing that God is caring, and that He has ability to handle every situation, the text says, give to God 100% of your anxieties. Don't leave some for yourself to carry. Or in the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:25, take no thought. what you shall wear, what you shall eat. Notice Jesus' emphasis, take no care, anxieties about these things. In other words, be carefree. And that's the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? We live in an urban city where we have all kinds of agenda and programs and schedules. Enjoying a carefree life is almost impossible. But this is what God wants us to do in our spiritual life. Be carefree, cast your care upon God. Now, of course, looking at people, there are some individuals that find it hard, very hard to be carefree. Their personality is such that they have a proneness to worry about little things. Maybe these people are very excitable, or they can be very quiet, but they cannot rest. When they have a problem, they cannot go to sleep. They have to take pills. They worry over little things. And sometimes, even our children can worry over little things, especially examination time. They have to study so much, go to school, and they worry about, oh, I don't have time for examination this morning. They worry about there may be common cold and they cannot take the exam. Some people have a very prone personality that's very prone to anxieties. But the words of God here and Jesus himself says to every one of us, no matter what your personality is, cast your care upon God. Jesus says, why worry about tomorrow? No point worrying about tomorrow. Because tomorrow, he says, has its own worries. Your tomorrow is in the hands of your caring Father. Cast your care upon God. Now the last thing we want to look at this afternoon is, how then does God care for us? How then does God care for us? Now for this, I want you to turn to Psalm 55 and read verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Here are the words of David, the psalmist, Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Notice that here Peter takes the words from the mouth of David. David here in his own situation says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now let's first of all ask the question, what circumstances made David to write these words? Here he's telling us what we ought to do, because that was what he did in his own situation. What was that situation? What was he experiencing? For that, I want you to read verse 12. Psalm 55, verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. Now, David here is saying that he has been betrayed. Not by a stranger, not by an enemy. Verse 13 says, but it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, my own acquaintance. He was betrayed by a very close companion. Now some commentators think that it might be Ahithophel, who was his counselor, who of course went on to help Absalom and then went against David. But if you read this psalm carefully, I don't think it was Ahithophel, because David was here in Jerusalem as he writes these words. But nevertheless, it was a close companion, a close person, not one far away, but one who is very near, who knows his secrets, who knows his policies, who knows what he was doing. And he felt betrayed by one of his closest friends in his ministry. And so here he tells us about his anguish. I think young people here can identify with that, because it is a very painful thing to be betrayed by a close friend. And David felt that. At the end, he teaches us this lesson of faith in verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. Now as he writes verse 22, there are three things that we can learn about how God cares for us. First of all, notice that God will sustain you. God will sustain you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. The word sustain means God will hold you up. There's something which is very mysterious but marvelous about casting our cares upon God. Because when we cast our cares upon God, God does not become burdened with our cares. Suppose I cast my burdens on you. You are a fellow human with the same human nature. When you carry my burden, you become burdened. And that is why Galatians 6 verses 1 and 4 says, carry your brother's burdens, but don't burden your brother with your anxieties. But when we cast our burdens upon God, God doesn't become burdened with our anxieties. In fact, he takes our anxieties and he throws our anxieties away. He doesn't need to shoulder them. He doesn't have to. But what is most beautiful is that when we cast our cares upon him, he carries us. He doesn't carry our anxieties. He disposes them. But he carries us in his hands. He holds us up so that we feel the embrace of his love. We sense the touch of his compassion. We know that God is there to hold us so that we do not stumble. Never have in your mind the idea that when we put our cares upon God, God carries our burdens. He becomes very anxious about our burdens. There's no such thing in the nature of God. But he carries you. He holds you so that we don't fall in his hands. Now the second way in which God cares for us in verse 22 is he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now when a person is moved, it means he is shaken in his confidence and he loses the peace of mind. David was shaken when he thinks about that betrayer. He tells us about how he feels in verse 2, for example. Attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. He was distraught. I mourn in my complaint. He has a complaint, legitimate complaint, betrayed. And he makes so much noise about it. And then in verse 4, he says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Now, you notice by now that it is not just a simple betrayal by a close friend. It is a political maneuver. His friend betrayed him in order to go to the enemy, to bring the enemy into Jerusalem to attack David. Disastrous. And so he says he feels pain in his heart, anguished. And then in verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror had overwhelmed me. Fear and trembling. I remember in my school days, I used to read some of these Chinese kung fu fighting novels, stories. There's a very famous writer, and he says that the greatest enemy is your closest friend. 你最大的敌人就是你最好的朋友. The greatest enemy is the closest friend. And then in Chinese history, you read all kinds of such political betrayers. Open the gates, and then the enemies come, and then when the new king is enthroned, you take a new position. You're full of anguish, fear,
trembling. Now God takes all this away. Instead of being shaken in our confidence, we should feel peaceful and we should feel at rest. Because Philippians 4 verse 6 says, when we put our anxieties upon God and we pray, God will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. The final way in which God cares for us in verse 22 and now verse 23, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Now this is closely connected again to what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Notice Peter says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. David says, God, you will destroy the enemies. And here Peter says, God is powerful. Powerful to drive away your fears, powerful to drive away all adversities, powerful to change situation. David believes that God will deliver him. He sings about God who is powerful to destroy the enemies. And notice in verse 6, Peter sings, writes about the same thing. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Children, remember Moses? God calls Moses to be deliverer. Moses says, but I cannot speak. I have no eloquence. God says, I will give you this rod. And then you will do signs and wonders. And they will see my mighty hand. The mighty hand of God delivers us out of misery and afflictions. The mighty hand of God gives us safety. And here the mighty hand of God will exalt us in due time. Maybe friends despise you. Maybe you fear and you tremble in that crisis. But God cares for you. He will exalt you. You know what's the greatest fear that mankind has? Death. The fear of death. But when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ takes away the power of death, destroys that dominion of grave and hell, and he gives us deliverance, and he gives us hope and a future. He exalts us precisely because what God does in Jesus Christ. Now, what are your anxieties this afternoon? What are your cares? What are your worries? I put it to you that there's no advantage in worrying. No advantage in anxieties. One writer, and he's a psychologist, he came out with these statistics about stress and anxiety. Let me read the statistics to you, and I think it is very true. And with this, I close. He says an average person's anxiety is focused on 40% on things that will never happen. 30% things about the past that cannot be changed. 12% things about criticism by others, mostly untrue. 10% about health, which gets worse with stress. 8% about real problems that will be faced. We should never focus on anxieties, but we should focus on a God who cares. Let us pray. Father in heaven, teach us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And we commit, O God, our lives to you. Carry us when we face adversities and give us that faith to surrender all our difficult situations to you. And we thank you that Jesus Christ gives us hope and help us, O God, in all our adversities and all our anxieties to look at Christ and to believe that you do provide and supply all our needs according to your riches. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.